T-minus 76. Dortulu Tepe, southeast of Ankara, Turkey.
Be calm, Billy echoed, staring at Masut for a moment before returning his gaze to the problem straight ahead.
You tell me there are two more men than there should be and you want me to be calm? Masut, what the hell is going on?
As they continued their slow approach to the cabin, their presence became apparent and drew two of the men forward. They weren't uniformed or threatening looking, but Billy remained tremendously anxious.
That's close enough, one of the men called in English.
Like the man's appearance, his tone wasn't overly threatening, but like his very presence, the words were anything but welcome. Masut stopped, prompting Billy to do the same.
Oh, I recognize one of them,
Masut whispered as the men grew ever nearer.
In the hat. He's an archaeology professor. A decent man.
Billy briefly looked away from the men for the first time, visitors or intruders his mind was yet to discern, in order to glance at Masut's expression in a bid to contextualize his words. Quite how another archaeologist could possibly know about the supposedly hush-hush discovery was one important question, but why he was showing up unannounced in the dark like this was even more unsettling. The man in the hat wore a light shirt and dark trousers, while his companion wore a sharp, if unspectacular, suit. The lack of light prevented Billy from seeing too many details, but it did look expensive.
Cenk Monaghan, the suited man said, extending a hand as soon as he arrived. Interior Ministry.
Billy's eyes widened in surprise at his esteemed company. A new pair of dual questions entered his mind. Why in the hell had the professor brought a politician to the site? Or was it the other way around? None of it necessarily meant that someone on the team had blabbed, Billy considered, somewhat optimistically thinking it was viable that all of his sites were perhaps being monitored from above, maybe even via satellite, and that an unusual rise in vehicular activity at this site could have alerted its observers.
They might not even know what we found, he dared to hope.
This option was certainly preferable to the other, and Masut's calmness in the two men's presence eased Billy's mind somewhat into thinking that it was more than a pie-in-the-sky hope. Masut, full of local knowledge and naturally more attuned to social cues among his countrymen, didn't look happy by any stretch, but also didn't appear desperately perturbed.
And what brings you out here?
Billy asked as nonchalantly as he could, already thinking deeply about how he could best play down the discovery for now, and ideally how he could keep the men from seeing the pillar at all. He shook the suited official's hand while speaking, smiling as he did so in what he felt was a highly laudable effort to appear calm. But before any reply came, and before Billy had the opportunity to try any of the diversionary lines his mind had been dreaming up, the reality of the situation became apparent. First came the squeeze on one hand, surprisingly painful given the official's relatively diminutive stature, and then came the handcuff on the other. From out of Billy's eyeline, the official's academic companion roughly closed a metallic handcuff around his left wrist. The man then took advantage of the position of Billy's right hand, closing the other handcuff around it even more unceremoniously and painfully than he had the first. Helplessly restrained, Billy turned to Masut. For a gut-wrenching moment, he feared he would see a devious smile as his trusted team leader outed himself as a turncoat like in almost every discovery-themed movie he'd ever seen, but fortunately this didn't materialize.
Thank the Lord for small mercies, Billy ruefully thought.
It made little material difference to his current predicament, but while the utterly stunned look on Masut's face certainly didn't make anything better, it also didn't make anything worse.
Do not resist, the official warned Masut, speaking English for Billy's benefit, and dropping his hand now that it was unshakably joined to the other. We only want to ask some questions.
Some damn question this is,
Billy snapped, raising his hands in protest. Both visitors looked again at Billy, but Masut clearly knew better than to run. Doing so would have been as futile as it would have been reckless, and when the men turned back to Masut, he saw something that slightly calmed his racing heart. Billy Kendrick, a maverick if nothing else, hadn't raised his hands so conspicuously out of genuine anger. Instead, Billy had been masking his real intention,
to slyly detach a minuscule pinhole camera from his collar. After a wink intended to reassure Masut that he knew what he was doing, Billy raised his hands all the way to his mouth and proceeded to swallow the $4,000 camera like it was a chewed-up blueberry. He gave another wink a few seconds later, and this one did reassure Masut, who was glad to see that Billy hadn't killed himself in trying to safeguard their initial footage of the discovery. Knowing that the footage was at least safe for now, though admittedly having no idea what Billy planned to do next, Masut outstretched his arms to allow an easy and non-violent cuffing. He couldn't imagine that the professor would play any part in destroying or defacing the find, and a long-term cover-up wouldn't be possible without the government official taking part in the politically impossible murder of a world-famous American archaeologist who happened to be one of Dan McCarthy's best friends. "Thank you for your cooperation," the professor said as he stepped forward and handcuffed Masut. Quite why these men were carrying handcuffs and why they were an interior minister and an archaeology professor were but two unanswered questions among the dozens floating around Billy's head while he watched Masut reluctantly accept his fate. The nature of their ultimate fate was perhaps the most pressing question, but Billy couldn't stop thinking about the pillar. "What are you going to do here?" he asked, unable to keep it in his head any longer. "Take over," the official replied, his tone less sharp than the words. "Our hands are perfectly capable, Mr. Kendrick. We don't need an American cowboy digging up our cultural history." "Garbage," Masut snapped. He turned to the professor, raising his hands and pointing his right index finger despite the handcuffs. "That American cowboy scouted this site, then stepped back and let me build the team of Turkish hands that just unearthed this piece of our cultural history. You puerile fool. We're better than this. This is politics."
"This is bullshit, is what it is,"
Billy lamented. "Walk," the official ordered. With his wrists tightly restrained under the starry Turkish sky, Billy had little option but to oblige. He glanced helplessly in the direction of the remarkable pillar, caring in that moment far more about its future well-being than his own.